Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Mac, I got a fun one for you and I.
Oh, hit me.
First off, welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports, Fesco and Dusty is what we call this show. Over under, Mac, known Kendrick Lamar songs from Bob Fesco.
Oh, zero.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say one and a half. A
not even swimming pools.
Okay. So you don't know this one?
I was going to say, that's why, you know.
Not in my wheelhouse.
Now, do your daughters like Kendrick, or is he a little too much for them right now?
I don't know. I'd have to kind of go through some of the playlists.
That'd be like right on the edge. I wonder.
Yeah. I don't know.
I know they say don't talk music.
Who says that? I think music is an important part of life. It creates memories. It jars the mind. It makes you in the moment. There's so much that is important about music.
God, I feel bad for those Puka Nacua people.
Oh, yeah.
They're showing the Detroit Rams game, and Puka left last night. I was like, time for bed.
Yeah.
I was like, this hurts my soul.
Yeah.
But no, we got the announcement that Kendrick Lamar, another thing that happened before our game started.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar is going to be the halftime show. And to be honest with you, as a guy that I think fits right in the middle of this, like, I love that they did this. Like,
same.
Look, love that they did the announcement yesterday. I love that it's Kendrick Lamar.
Love that it both. Yeah. I love that it's Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, I think, look, I'm not in that wheelhouse, but I think that's an awesome choice. I mean, you're going after a target audience of young people that you want. Like, I'm glad the Super Bowl has stopped, no offense, rolling out the Rolling Stones or rolling out some of your, you know, your grandpa's music that, you know, people liked up with people back in the day or whatever the nonsense was. Like, so I'm good with it. You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it hip. You got to keep it young. Mm. You got to keep it timely. You got to keep it, you know, on the top of everybody's mind. Like, if you rolled out a Super Bowl halftime show yesterday and announced that it was George Strait, I got to be honest with you, you're not going to get a lot of buzz. You're not going to get a lot of excitement.
No,
the NFL... I was listening to an interview yesterday. I watched a 45-minute interview yesterday with this woman who used to be part of like NFL entertainment, and now she's like Michael Strahan's agency, basically. Mm. She represents Strahan and Snoop Dogg and Dion. Like, those are her three clients, right? Pretty nice collection, yeah. Right? And she was talking about, like, in the old days where she was working, like, with NFL media and NFL events and things like that, and how they started to do, like, little concerts at the Super Bowl. And she talked about one of the first events she put on in the mid-90s was a party for the owners at the Super Bowl, and she hired Hootie and the Blowfish to be the opening act. And they were like so mad that she hired them in August. By December, they were up for every Grammy, and they were the headliner at the owner's party at the Super Bowl in the mid-90s. And she's like, and then it just kind of exploded from there. And then here we sit. And so the NFL has this arm of their league that is dedicated to basically pop culture and finding out ways to make the league just not more relevant from a sports standpoint, but more relevant from an entertainment standpoint, because that's what the league is. And that's what we saw yesterday before these games even started, the entertainment aspect of the NFL. It started with Tyreek Hill getting arrested. We had a situation involving a quarterback getting paid yesterday. Tom Brady made his debut. And we didn't even have a game yet. I mean, that's the entertainment aspect of this whole thing. So the NFL is very in tune to what's popular in pop culture at the time. And I think they've done a great job over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, you know, of doing halftime shows that are actually relevant to what's going on in the world today, and not going out and finding the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or Creedence Clearwater Revival to do a halftime show.
No, look, and I mean, we all know that. Like, I'm the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan that probably is on these airwaves, and his performance wasn't great. Like, it was a little bit past his prime.
Yeah.
Prince would probably be the best one I've seen with, like, an older artist. Like, his whole thing's crazy because at halftime it was, like, starting to rain and thunder.
It was unbelievable.
And they asked Prince, I don't know if you know this story, but they asked Prince, they said, hey, man, there's bad weather and, like, rain and, you know, lightning and thunder. Is there anything you want us to do for the halftime show? He said, yeah, make it rain harder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Like, yeah. One of the GOATs, man. And, you know, I thought Kendrick being at halftime is kind of the same as if you were to put, like, I think he's in that age group with could be, like, people in their 40s, 50s that like him, could be people in their 20s and like, younger 20s and younger 30s that like him as well. Whereas, like, this is a, you know, hip-hop is his genre, but he's got such a wide demographic. Whereas, like, you put the Rolling Stones out there, it's like, okay, like, there's going to be a demographic that likes this, but they're all going to just be one. It's not going to be a broad, different one. Was it last year they did, it was Rihanna pregnant.
Yeah, right.
She's another one that was kind of in that realm where, like, everybody knows Rihanna. Everybody's got a song about Rihanna they like.
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Who was last year?
Who was last year?
Usher.
Then?
That's right. Usher was out last year sweating his ass off.
Yeah.
And
he was
good.
Great, yeah.
Right? Ludacris. And then the year before that was the Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Which was fantastic. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think before that,
and that
was
before that was the guy, Beyonce. Blinded Lights.
That was U2?
No.
I've got it right here.
The Weeknd. Yeah, yeah. During the Tampa Super Bowl, which
so
was weird.
We've kind of figured out what the halftime show is about. It is hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt that's what they are putting out there. And for 10 years before that, it was like classic rock, and they have shifted to this. And I don't know if that's part of keeping the younger audience in, or they realize that, you know, the older audience is going to the bathroom or getting food at halftime or not really caring about the halftime show. But it is kind of interesting to see the dramatic change from it used to be Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, Rolling Stones, yada yada, to now it's Beyonce, Lady Gaga, The Weeknd, Kendrick Lamar,
Snoop Dogg,
Dr. Dre, Eminem, all that. And, you know, I kind of like that they have this rotation of decades where, you know, it used to be Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. Those were all the popular pop stars of the time.
Back then, yeah.
And then now they tried that era where it was like, we're going to get former people that are, you know, either on a tour, whatever. And I remember Bob Costas asked Bruce Springsteen, why the Super Bowl halftime show? That's not you. He goes, I got a new album coming out, dummy.
Yeah.
That's what he told Bob. And he's like, all right.
And it was funny because this gal was talking about, like, recruiting these artists. And she said most of these artists would forego their fee of seven figures to play at NFL events because they know the exposure that they're going to get and what that does for their brand. Getting the opportunity to play the Super Bowl halftime show is one of the best honors in the history of entertainment right now. Mm-hmm. You're guaranteed 110 million people are going to be watching. You're probably going to pick up some new fans along the way. And here's the other thing. If you don't like the particular act at halftime,
you don't have to watch.
Don't
it.
Watch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do not watch.
You don't
I don't need you to complain on social media or to bitch on Threads or X or whatever the case may be that you don't like the halftime show. If you don't like something, feel free not to participate in that.
I will say this text is right. No show will ever beat the Shakira J-Lo one. Not a chance.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
I mean, I did not miss a second of that show.
Just silence.
I had my dinner plate on my lap and sitting cross-legged.
Janet Jackson and
JT
were good.
Yeah.
That's when America truly lost its mind.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Oh, my God. Get the kids. Sit down, Karen.
Well, I mean, she did show that nipple.
Everybody had Encyclopedia Britannica growing up. We all looked up three things, okay, and that was one of them.
He dropped the line, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song, and then rip that off. And they said, well, there was supposed to be a pasty there. No, there wasn't. You brought up a good question about what do you think the higher number will be? And it is, quite simply, Chiefs points given up or Carolina points scored.
Which number do you think is going to be bigger?
Points scored.
You think?
I think it'll be week three before the Chiefs give up 40 points, and the Saints put up 40 on them. They made Derek Carr look like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Derek Carr looked good yesterday.
Almost
in that
50.
Game.
Yeah.
Almost 50.
48.
Yeah.
Is that
what, they missed a field goal.
It was insane. Yeah, New Orleans looked like world beaters in that game. Yeah. That'll be the best they look all year while they play Carolina
do you think the Chiefs will have more wins? Or do you think Carolina will have more losses?
See, I think the Chiefs 17-0 and 0-17, so we're going to say a tie.
Okay.
I mean, Carolina and the Giants are the Germany game this year.
Yeah.
You guys know that, right?
And then next year the Chiefs and whoever are Germany.
And we're sending Carolina and the Giants to Germany. I thought we wanted to grow the game, right?
Just been revoked.
Yeah. Well, they should pull back on that. Go, okay, we're not going to send that game, but we'd rather have you not have a game than to watch these two teams have to go out and do battle.
That's right.
But I think Carolina is destined for a 2-15 type of year. They'll find a win or two like most teams normally do, except the Lions that year. They'll find a way to win a game. They'll beat somebody nobody expects them to beat. They'll probably beat like Tampa or Atlanta or something like that, some bad division wins. So I think
London has to watch Jacksonville every year.
Well, but at least Jacksonville's gotten kind of better, even though they screwed the season up yesterday.
Yeah.
But so which number did you say? Chiefs wins or Carolina?
What number's bigger?
Chiefs wins or Carolina losses?
I think losses.
You think the Chiefs win 12?
2-15. And yeah, I got the Chiefs 14-3. So yeah, it's close.
Yeah,
but I think,
yeah.
But that's crazy to think about.
That's insane.
Yeah. How many points is Carolina going to score this year?
Like, as soon as Shaheed caught that bomb from Derek Carr and the season's over, I would quit watching.
Because
in the very next play was a Bryce Young interception.
Right.
So if you didn't turn off a Hail Mary throw from Derek Carr, who wears eyeliner and cutoffs, nothing wrong with that. It's just whatever. But the very next play, your quarterback threw an interception right over the middle. Mm-hmm. It ain't happening.
Do you think there's any chance the Panthers can beat our guy?
It's today.
That's next week.
No chance.
Okay. No chance. Fair enough.
Yeah,
not look good either.
No.
But
they didn't look good. They beat a bad Raider team.
Both those teams were bad.
Let's not start throwing flowers around for Harbaugh's khakis and Justin Herbert and all that kind of stuff because they beat a bad Raider team yesterday.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
They really are, baby.
Tomorrow is Tuesday. Today is Monday, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5, The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, Josh Villeneuve. He'll join us here in about 5 minutes. He'll have his pregame show tonight a little early.
Early game
because they're in New York.
Has Carrington worked a full day since we went on the air with 96.5, The Fan?
Friday.
Was Friday the first? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, what a day to really have that first day, too. Mm-hmm. A Friday? That stinks.
Yep.
We were knee deep in whatever on Friday, and he's still on.
Uh-huh.
Good.
I love Fridays, though.
Oh, I love Friday.
I got a fear of Fridays. Shout out Zach Bryan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, all with you as we roll through Overreaction Mondays/Mondays.
It is an overreaction, though. A lot of NFL overreacting over the weekend. We can get to a little bit later, but I don't think it's overreaction at all. We got 1 week to judge everything on. Let's go.
But I want to take the overreaction narrative to baseball.
Yep.
And are we overreacting to a sweep over the weekend to the Twins?
No, you win the games that are on your schedule, right? If they would have lost 2 of 3 to the Twins, we'd be talking about it from a different perspective. We go, are we overreacting to these losses? No, you're not cutting time, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got less than 3 weeks to go of the season. And Fair. So every win is a big win. Every win matters. Every win that you get gets you that much closer to securing and wrapping up that postseason berth. Now, they're going to the postseason. I don't think there's any more doubt. I mean, and if there is, then you're just a hater, I guess, at this point in time. This team is going to the playoffs. You're now kind of playing for seeding and who you're going to play against, who your best matchups are against. I don't like our matchup against Cleveland. Against Houston. I'm just being honest. I don't want to see Houston in that first wild card round. So any way we can avoid Houston in the wild card round is good, because if you get knocked out in the wild card round right now, unless you're division winner, you're not hosting a home playoff game. If you get knocked out in that wild card round, chances are you don't get a home playoff game. Not chances are you don't get a home playoff game. Right. I want to see home baseball here in Kansas City. So when the Royals do make it into the playoffs, I don't want to see them against the Houston Astros in that first round, because I think Houston matches up well with Kansas City. Baltimore is an interesting one. I know we've played them earlier in the season, but that's when Will Smith was blowing games in April, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's when you're looking around going, okay, Will Smith stinks.
Yeah, they blew 2 saves in the 3-game series.
Yeah, and he's not around in that in that spot anymore. So I think we match up pretty good with Baltimore. This right here, beginning tonight, this is a potential playoff matchup against the Yankees. We're going to see where we stand now against the Yankees. I know they came in here, took 3 out of 4 back in June. People were probably looking at that going, oh boy, I guess the Royals can't beat good teams like everybody wants to continue to say.
Right.
But now you're going to New York. This is a playoff series for the Royals. This will be the biggest test that a lot of these guys, Bobby Witt, Michael Garcia, Brady Singer tonight on the mound, Ursig, like all of these guys really now for the first time are going to experience true postseason baseball for these next 3 days in New York. Right. I'm anxious and interested and excited to see how the Royals respond to this kind of, to this kind of pressure and playing in the Bronx in meaningful baseball games this late in the season. It's a big deal.
No, I mean, that's, the best way to get the best look at it is to actually go play in that environment.
And
New York's going to have a packed crowd, just like you had a packed crowd this past weekend. It was playoff atmosphere at Kauffman. There's no doubt about it. Luckily, the temperature cooled down a little bit, so the old October hoodies were out, so there's a lot more blue, it seemed like. But even, Cotrero said after the game on Saturday, that's the loudest that stadium has felt. It was nice. It was noticeable. You know how these players and managers are, right? They don't look into the game and use outside distractions unless it merits it. And he was, the manager of the Royals literally said the crowd was noticeable. It felt great to hear all those fans. And we see the text lines. People say that they were there. And towards the end of the game, you're hearing the Let's Go Royals chants. You were seeing people call, what I noticed it is when they're cheering every strike.
Yeah. And that's when you know the games are big. Yeah.
And Reagans was dealing on Saturday night.
Yes, he
and
was.
Then all of a sudden, Saturday they throw out, Ursig, or Sunday goes out there and it's strike one. You're there's still 3 outs to go and people are standing up and cheering for strike one. That's where I think it's kind of, it really is noticeable, is when you're cheering for ball or for strikes.
Yeah.
And there's still 3 outs to get.
Yep.
So that feels that way. Those players realize that as well.
And now you flip that around because you're going into a hornet's nest. I mean, it's never easy for a visiting team to play, in New York and play in the Bronx. And so you'll get an opportunity to see kind of what, because I do think crowds make a big difference in baseball in the postseason, right? We all know they make a big deal in the NFL and whatnot, both in the regular season and the postseason. But I think crowds make a big deal in the postseason. I mean, you can see it. You can see the way that the home crowd affects the opposing team and the pitcher on the mound. Guys get nervous, they drop the baseball. We've seen that before, right? It's going to be impactful to have those playoff games here in Kansas City. That's why it's so important to keep winning and to find a way. Maybe you win the division and you get that home. You're only 2.5 back of Cleveland. So you've got the opportunity right in front of you to beat up on the Yankees in New York, show that you belong on that same level and that same stage as the Yankees, take care of business, and then you host playoff games at home, and now you've got the crowd on your side. It matters a lot in baseball.
It's like our guy Josh Verner's told us all along, this team is going to win as long as they win with their starting pitching, defense, and team speed. Vern, there was all of that on display, from relays to double plays to snags at first. How about that defense and starting pitching this weekend?
Yeah, it's a great point. Yesterday, Michael Wacha was nice enough to call into the postgame show afterward, and he, too, was focusing on the return of clean baseball. You know, the seven-game losing streak, and really, I don't want to say I understand it, but shoot, man, I was shell-shocked when Vinny went down. I think the team was shell-shocked when Vinny went down, or at least the young bats, the young arms, the guys that every single night are playing the biggest game of their life. But yeah, yesterday, from Michael Wacha's absolute domination on the mound to Hunter Renfroe hitting Mikel Garcia, gunning out the base runner at home to Freddie Fermin, and then Bobby Witt Jr. turning an unassisted double play, just showing off his freak athleticism there at shortstop. Yeah, the reason why this team sits 14 games above 500 has been back on display at Kauffman Stadium, from Wacha to the defense, even Alec Marsh, man. I understand his numbers aren't eye-popping, but he's made three starts since returning to the rotation, and he's given you a chance to win every single time. Throw into the mix Cole Reagan's six shutout innings, as he was ace-like back on Friday. So, yeah, you have to be feeling good, and isn't it amazing how much can change in 1 week, man? I was doom and gloom last Monday morning, and now, because of what, I mean, it's amazing, but what Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman and Yuli Gurriel have done to help attempt to replace Vinny Pasquantino. Guys, I know it's only a week, but since the All-Star break, Vinny Pasquantino was hitting .296 with an OPS of .822. In the first week of those three bats, Yuli, Pham, and Grossman, they're hitting a combined .310 with an OPS of .824. And the thing that I was most worried about with Vinny was getting big knocks with runners in scoring position. Those three bats are hitting .500 with runners in scoring position, and Tommy Pham had the game-winning RBI in back-to-back day. So, you know, there's so much to like right now. It's hard to get past ownership and the front office and their refusal to just say, hey, we've had a good season, let's see what happens down the stretch. Those three additions, to go along with just about everything else this organization has touched over the past year and a half, man, everything is working well, and everybody is, I know, feeling good right now about this team as they head to the Bronx.
Well, and I think also, Vern, when you look at, you know, the push by ownership, this is an opportunity for John Sherman to separate himself from David Glass and to separate himself
and
his show. Well, you say that, and I do agree with you from my world, but there are still people out there that, you know, were wondering what John Sherman was going to be about, right? How he was going to run this team, how he was going to operate this team. I think what this year has shown you, if you were still holding out on John Sherman up until even the stadium vote, right? And I know people didn't like him because of that and whatnot. But, like, if you weren't sure about John Sherman as an owner, you better be damn sure about John Sherman as an owner right now, because he's showing you what he's all about as an owner, and that's to put a winning product out there on the field. How you can't walk away from this season and go, all right, we got a superstar as an owner of our franchise, right? I don't know what that's going to take.
Yeah, and I go back to this offseason, Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto talking about how we build our team to win 54% of the time. That's our goal. We want to win 54% of the time. And, man, that was met with a loud thud to the fan base. Who wants to hear owner or a general manager say, hey, we want to win 54%? No, you want to win a title. You want to win the division. You know, signing Seth Lugo and Will Smith and Chris Stratton and Hunter Renfroe, that to me would have been reflective of a team that's trying to win 54%. But to go out and break off Michael Wacha, $16 million, that's an aggressive team. That's a team that's trying to win the division. To bring in three pitchers of Paul DeJong at the deadline and then refuse to settle after Vinny goes down, yeah, that's a organization, really, top to bottom, because you have to give credit to the coaching staff for helping implement these guys into the team, using them in the lineup. You got to give credit to the clubhouse for absorbing three personalities like Pham, Grossman, and Gurriel, guys that, yes, have tons of playoff experience, but everyone has an ego. Credit to those vets for coming in and putting their ego aside, but still, it takes a collective effort to bring in 7-8 new faces in the span of a month and a half and not really miss a beat, not I don't know, maybe it looks different to you guys, but when I'm watching this team on the field, it looks, well, callers were saying it last night, it looks like they're playing for one another. And to play like that when you've only known one another for a month, month and a half, is a testament to the leaders, a testament to the veterans, and of course, a testament to the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that Q has led this team too, Vern, I mean, yeah, when they lost Vinny and they lost seven in a row, as you mentioned, you were sitting here last week going, oh, woe is me, the world is over and whatnot. And they've held this thing together and found a way to win four in a row. What can you say about Q's managing style that has kind of helped this team get out of that funk?
Q deserves, a ton of credit, but I know he would immediately deflect it and talk about the veterans, especially a guy like Will Smith. You know, I mentioned Michael Wacha calling into the postgame show. Daniel Lynch dialed us up back on Saturday, and even though Will Smith's on the IL, I mentioned to Lynch, man, I can't remember seeing you as confident as you've been since returning from Omaha, right? He's 7 2/3, holding opponents to a batting average of .120. He's yet to allow an earned run. And I'm like, man, this is the biggest game you've ever pitched in. This is September baseball. You make an error to the leadoff hitter, and it doesn't blow up in front of you. You calmly get a 6-4-3 double play after that leadoff error. And he points to Will Smith and the way that Smith and Stratton have been putting that bullpen up on game of what September baseball's like, what October baseball's like. Will's been preparing these guys every night for the past few weeks, for the past few months. I think Hunter Renfro's doing the same thing. Obviously, you know Salvi's doing it. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. Man, Tommy Pham, if you heard him after Friday's game, anytime someone put a microphone in front of his face, he made it about Michael Massey. So, yeah, Matt Quatrero's doing an outstanding job, and I think that's evident in the joy that they play with, especially guys like Dairon Blanco and Adam Frazier, the guys that are just getting in there, once, twice a week. The excitement that they attack the game with, the excitement that they play their role, right? They know how I bring value. I know what I do for this team, a la Terrence Gore, Jerod Dyson. When you can get all 26, 28 guys excited about their job on the team, that to me is reflective of a great clubhouse and a great coaching staff that is utilizing those guys and communicating with those guys of what we expect from you, how you can help us win, and what value you bring to this organization. So I think that's where Q and the coaching staff do a great job. You know, the pitching department, all you need to do is look at the statistics to see what they've done over the past year and a half. But, yeah, I think it begins with guys like Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Wacha, Lugo, Renfro, and even the new names that they've brought in, the Grossmans, the Phams, the way that these guys are leading by example. That's what Michael Massey brought up to me, is to last as long as these guys have in the league, man, I'm just going to stand behind them and follow their lead. Do what they do as we approach the latter weeks in September, because they've been here before, right? Gurriel has two rings. Grossman has one. Tommy Pham's a 300 hitter across four different playoff runs with four different teams. So, Listen, as they go to New York, I can tell you this. They're not going to be scared. That's something that stood out to me this week, man. When Bobby comes through with that game-winning knock on Saturday, after the game, he's saying, yeah, you know, it's just another game. You know, this is the same guy that was disappointed at how he didn't feel nerves in his big league debut, but that top hand release, as he kind of just bloops it over the second base bag for the game-winning knock. The thing that impressed me most this weekend about this team, or what it did, was remind me of what I saw back in April and May. The young guys on this team that haven't been through this before, they're not afraid of the big moment. Freddie Fermin, Michael Garcia, I understand it's winter ball, but these guys have played in bigger crowds than the one they played in front of back on Saturday. Bobby's been the focus of attention since he was 7 years old, so he's undeterred by it. Cole Reagans, Alec Marsh, Brady Singer, these guys, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey, they don't appear as if they're going to shrink on the big stage. And, well, during the regular season, it doesn't get much bigger than Yankee Stadium where they're at tonight.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you, Vern. We're going into a hornet's nest. You know, Nestor Cortez is popping off. He's not happy with his role. They lost a couple in Chicago, whatever the case may be. This is a playoff atmosphere tonight. Like, this is going to be the first opportunity that this team truly has to sense that playoff atmosphere. What are you expecting and what are you wanting over these next three games?
Man, they already met my hope for the Riptide. I said if they can go 10-10, that'd be great, but I'll be happy with 8-12. If they can go 8-12, I think the playoffs are waiting on the other side. They're already 8-9. But as I look at the pitching matchup, you know, there isn't one where I say, oh, advantage Yankees. Now, I would say advantage Royals tomorrow and on Wednesday, and tonight's a coin flip with Brady Singer and Carlos Rodon. So, you know, expectations is you need to get one. You have to get at least one. But every night, man, you show up expecting to see the Royals win. Now, I'm not going to say I expect a series win or I expect a sweep. But you know what? To go back to the clubhouse, you know, we make so much about 2014 and the Raul Ibanez speech. This team has been receiving that Raul Ibanez speech since spring training. You know, Will Smith started it. Michael Wacha continued it. Hunter Renfro picked it up. Adam Frazier was there parroting it throughout the season. I think Robbie Grossman has since joined in that song telling the guys that you are good enough. You guys are nasty, man. People don't want to play you. So as they head into the Bronx, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Luis Gil, these are the guys that they're supposed to be intimidated by. I think the Royals step into this stage thinking that they're just as good, if not better. And honestly, I don't think the Yankees would want to see the Royals come the postseason. I don't think anybody really wants to see the Royals come the postseason. But the expectations, I would say, is clean baseball. You know, play the game that got you to where you're at 79-65. Give me a chance to win from my starting pitcher. Make the fundamental plays defensively and occasionally make the spectacular. Give me aggressive base running where you're taking that extra 90 feet. And, you know, what stands out about yesterday's game was the egoless approach at the dish, something I haven't mentioned much this year, but mentioned all the time in 2015. It was nice to see MJ with an 8-pitch walk, Freddie and Michael go to the opposite field, Hampson with a sack fly when you cannot punch out, he doesn't. Tommy Pham takes his walk, hands it off to Bobby Witt Jr., and Salvi, as we heard earlier, with that swing and bunt to drive in the second run of the game, and the Royals win 2-0. You know, that is what I want to see in New York. If they do what they've done most of the season, they'll certainly win one game. They might take the series, but just do meet the standard that you've set for yourself, and that begins with pitching, defense, base running, and hopefully some egoless approaches at the dish.
Vern, is the playoff rotation set with the three you saw go out there and just flex hoses against the Minnesota Twins?
Well.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you play. Yeah. But I don't look. Alec Marsh pitched against the Twins. I don't think he's going to get a start in the postseason. Reagans, Lugo, Wacha, to me, it seems. Yeah. Fairly set in stone, and that's no knock on Brady Singer. It's, you know, Cole Reagans is one of the five best pitchers on the planet. Seth Lugo's one of the 15 best righties on the planet. And Michael Wacha, as you saw yesterday, is is made for October. It is made for this push. And, you know, Brady will get in where he fits in, maybe in the DS, maybe he comes out of the bullpen, but it's a great problem to have, especially when you throw into the fact that, you know, Michael Lorenzen going to be starting a rehab assignment. He might be able to join this team in a bullpen role come October, and boy, what a lift that will be.
Are you willing to say that they're a playoff team in the microphone?
Yeah. Listen, it would take an epic collapse for this team to fall short of the postseason. Yeah. I want Baltimore personally.
I was going to say, who do you think we match up best with? Because Baltimore, we should have beat. That's when Will Smith was not getting out, so he's no longer really part of that problem anymore. I don't want to see Houston in the first round. That's where I am.
No, not when you have so much starting pitching. You're putting Ronel Blanco and Justin Verlander in the bullpen. Yeah, I want no part of Houston. Bring on Baltimore. I'm not afraid of Corbin Burns. Well, I respect Corbin Burns, but I'll take Cole Reagans. And then the drop off to Zach Eflin and whoever they drop, whoever they throw in Game 3, won't be able to match Michael Wacha. So I think the Royals have the clear pitching advantage, maybe even bullpen wise, over Baltimore. And I don't know if you can say that about the Yankees, and I know you can't say that about the Astros.
No doubt about it, Vern. There's only 6 games left at home. I assume there's some tickets to maybe be won at 5:15. There we go.
Yeah, we got tickets to the final 3 games of the season against the Giants.
Let's go.
Nice. Let's do it.
Big Vern on at 5:00. Vern, take the rest of the day off, and we'll see you at 5:00 here on 96.5.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Josh Vern, our Royals insider there on Fesco and Dusty. A lot of key things there to be noted. We come back. We get into, we'll get into the best rookie performance we saw. Plus, we'll have myself and Mac try to defend Caleb Williams.
How are you going to do that?
We're going to figure out how on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports, Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
I am here to tell you. 10 o'clock is going to be amazing.
Why is 10 o'clock going to be amazing?
Because
I can't believe he came to work today.
Drew Nixon's out there.
Ooh, yeah.
In a hoodie brighter than the orange on my coffee mug.
Yeah.
And it's just Cincinnati out. And Gold, being the ass that he is, goes, "Oh, you don't have a bright orange hoodie, Dusty?" I said, "No, I don't work in construction." Shout out to those construction guys working out there. But the thing is, the first thing he says to me, and this is the first thing Cincinnati Drew says to me, "You better not lose to Cincinnati on Sunday." I said,
Whoa. So, all right, hang on a second. So I see this dude walk in now, right? Into the building. And I see him, and I can see the orange construction kind of orange, that bright like Bengal orange that they were wearing yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I thought in my mind, I'm like, God, it must really be a tough day for this guy to walk into building in particular to do the job that he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be a nice guy. Good to know my son Alex has already started in. He learns from his father, I
told
guess.
You guys were related.
One, right?
And Cody's back there going, how do I write a song about this?
Now, Cody's in here trying to hook up chords or
that's
something.
True.
You know, whatever he's doing.
Poor guy.
So I see Drew walk in. I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking, what can I say? You lost. You know
it's
what?
It's low-hanging fruit.
It is. Yeah. I'm not going to be a heel.
And
I'm just not going to do it.
I wasn't going to be. I said, when Alex goes, "Where's your orange hoodie?" I said, "You know what? Good for Drew. He's wearing his badge of honor. He's being a fan. It's 1 week."
Right.
I said they're going to be 3-2 after week 5 because that's what our executive producer told us, Mac Morietta.
Sure.
And I said, "You know what? Good for Drew." And then he goes, immediately, where he could have just kept it on the same vibe, goes, "Y'all better not lose to Cincinnati this week."
Okay, so
I said, "Whoa, dude.
Yeah, that's
now I will chime in." So I gave Drew an ultimatum. I said, by 10 o'clock, he has to decide by 10 a.m. he can leave Cincinnati and be all in with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you got to leave.
You can leave
Cincinnati,
your family,
right?
Yeah. Love it.
He's not going to do that, though.
No, he said no four times.
He's not going to do that. But so like my thought has changed because the first thing I heard him say to Alex, he didn't even say hello, good morning, or anything.
Nah.
He goes, "I've been trying to get a hold of somebody," and he's not like, so he was like already trying to get into like work mode before anybody could even get to the, "You lost to New England."
Okay? At home.
At home.
With Joe Burrow.
You lost to New England at home with Joe Burrow. And I was reading a quote this morning actually from somebody who was covering the team.
Uh-huh.
In the New England team, they're all crediting training camp for why they were able to win, right? The old cliche, training camp got us to where we needed to be. And then I think about Jamar Chase, who said, you know, clearly we weren't on the same page, to the guy who didn't go to any training camp practices. So, you know, not that I'm bitter on that, because I'm not. You got to hold out for your money in the NFL.
She's doing all right going to St. Joe every year.
But, I mean, they seem to be doing just fine, right?
Seems to work out sleeping on a stiff board of a mattress and having to take a fan, a pillow, or a TV.
Right. It works out well. So you got to get there. You got to practice. You got to be ready ready to rock and roll if you expect to have. And that's the thing. Like last year we suffered with Chris Jones missing that first game, and that was not good. Obviously, we ended up losing that football game, but they found a way to respond and get to where they wanted to go.
That's right.
I don't know if Cincinnati, A, has the coach in place that can do that, B, has the quarterback in place that can be the leader to do that, and C, they've allowed Jamar Chase to basically dictate the entire narrative of that team. And when you allow a player to dictate the narrative of that team and him being negative and all that kind of stuff, that infests the rest of your organization. And even through the holdout, Chris Jones was never negative really towards his teammates or anything like that, or had nothing nasty to say and whatnot. Jamar Chase appears to me like he's trying to steal the spotlight, and he's probably putting his interests ahead of the team interests in that. And then, of course, T. Higgins sits out with an injury yesterday. So it's not going up. But don't walk in here and go, you better beat Cincinnati. Yeah. That's him of trying to say, you know what, I know we're effed, and I'm going to turn it back on you. You guys got to beat us, you know, a bad
team. I tried
to
be a
good guy, Bob. But that's a losing team losing. Kick him in the nuts.
I try to be a good friend. I love Drew. We're close. We have a lot of common, you know, likes. And he punched me in the nose when I was just trying to, you know, put his bangs back a little bit, you know, hold his hair while he pukes.
Yeah, of course.
I was trying to hold his hair while he pukes.
What do you think's happening in Cincinnati this morning, though?
Diversion,
I mean, honestly,
is what's happening.
Are they talking Reds baseball?
No, they're talking Guardians baseball, because that's the only playoff thing they have.
Well, they're probably talking Ohio State. A lot of Ohio State today in Cincinnati,
that's true.
You know.
A lot of people talk about rookie performances. We'll do that. And also, Bob, you... I don't know what you think about this.
Don't care about stats as long as you win.
Yeah, don't care about stats. I feel great. I'll be honest with you. I feel great. I understand that obviously the stats weren't, you know, where I wanted them to be and things like that, because I want to go out there and perform to the best of my ability, and, you know, didn't do that today. And so, you know, we're going to get better tomorrow. We got this little period, you know, these next 15 hours or so, and then, you know, you reset. You know, you get ready for Houston next week, and so, you know, we're gonna enjoy this win. I'm gonna go dinner with my family, hang out with them, and then from there, get back into it and get ready to go. We're gonna be better next week.
Hopefully, they went to Luminati's. That was Caleb Williams, the rookie quarterback for the Bears, who was 14-29 for 93 yards. He was sacked twice. He had 5 rushes for 15 yards, and his leading receiver DJ Moore had 5 receptions for 36 yards. As they did win.
Yeah, they won the game, right?
In his debut. So
he should be taking his defense and special teams out for dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, not your family on last
Levis.
Night. Yeah, or Levis for throwing the game away, right?
A slip.
Levis throws the game away. Special teams blocks a kick, and defense comes up with another big play
team
for
win,
you, right?
Baby.
It is a team
Caleb
win.
Caleb Williams, 1-0, is a rookie quarterback in the NFL.
Boy, I don't care what his stats are. He looked like ass yesterday.
His stat,
if he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, you come in and you go 5 touchdowns. Let's go. Gonna back it up.
Did have a drop touchdown pass, but yeah, it was bad. It was
looked terrible yesterday. He looked like he was telling the ref to blow the whistle as the offensive line was parting at the seams and allowing the opposition to chase him down. Tennessee, I don't think, is a good football team, and we showed they can't finish. When you can't finish like Tennessee and win that football game, or Jacksonville, when you lose those games that you had leads in, Arizona's another one, you're just not a very good football team. Chicago lost a game but won the game because Tennessee wasn't a good football team. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, their next game against a good team, what they go out there and do, and if Caleb Williams – because I didn't think Caleb – the game looked too fast for Caleb Williams. He did not look good at all in that football game.
I think that's the sneaky thing, though, that might come out of that game is Tennessee's defense actually looked
pretty
good.
They've always had a good front four. Like, their front four is legit, and they gave him headaches.
And they paid –
they gave Mahomes headaches.
And they spent money on Awuzie. They spent money on McCreary. They spent money on one of the best corners in the league, LeJarius Sneed. Like, that could be a pretty solid defense.
Could be, but we don't know.
Nobody
had expectations for Tennessee. And without special teams and Will Levis throwing an interception, Chicago doesn't win the game. Chicago's got to be very fortunate because if they would have lost that game, Eberflus versus Daboll for first coach fired.
Mm.
And they play Houston next week, so it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough game. Yeah.
Any other rookie you thought was good this weekend?
The best rookie of the weekend, there's no question, was Xavier Worthy. I mean, he was the best wide receiver rookie of the weekend.
He didn't play over the weekend.
He wasn't better than Brian Thomas.
Yeah. He was phenomenal. A couple of touchdowns. They don't win the game without Xavier Worthy. I thought he was the best. He put on the best
performance. I thought Jaden Daniels did okay.
Me too.
He was 17-24. He had 185 yards passing, zero interceptions.
They just got housed.
Yeah, they played a playoff team in Tampa who's going to win that South by probably four games.
I don't know. Did you see the way New Orleans played yesterday?
They played Carolina. he also ran the ball 16 times for 88-yard rushing.
That's it, man.
What are we doing now, though? We're praising all these quarterbacks now for running. Like, everybody's
because
like,
it's
oh,
when they do it.
Like Kyler ran yesterday, didn't do much else. You know, Josh Allen ran yesterday, didn't do much else. Lamar ran the other day, didn't do much else. Like, all of a sudden, this quarterback position has switched into, are we going to run first quarterbacks?
I think it's if you look at how they gain those yards. We talk about Mahomes rushing all the time.
But he's not doing 60, 70 yards per game. I mean, you know.
He doesn't have to.
No, but I mean.
These guys are built that way.
These guys like have to do that to win.
I would love it if you could. If you put Mahomes' arm on Lamar Jackson's legs, the league would have a six-peat.
Yeah.
We'll dive more into, you know, what it was, but this college football weekend also was eye-opening. One thing we didn't get to, which is extremely cringy, and I'm not a hater. Trust me, I'm a lover. I'll promise you that. I'm Dusty Lagus, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty, and this is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.